You are Locked On Washington Football Team, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome inside another crossover edition. This for Week 7 between the Packers and Washington Football Team. I am, of course, Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers. Joining me, co-host of Locked On Washington Football Team, David Harrison. David, there is a lot going on in Washington. A lot of it has nothing to do with what's going on the field. We will stick mostly to what is going on the field, because I think that's the thing that Packer fans certainly care about the most. And your listeners, I'm sure, have heard you talk plenty about Sean Taylor and Dan Snyder and what's going on over there. But I think the biggest thing that stands out is this was a defense last season that really played good football. Chase Young and Daron Payne and Montez Sweat and all these guys getting after quarterbacks. They add William Jackson in the offseason. This is going to be a lockdown group, and it has been anything but this season. So what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think a little bit of it was a little overselling, you know, and a lot of that is done obviously in the media. You know, we have a nature to look at things on paper and try to kind of imagine what they could be versus what maybe they will be. And that's, you know, I think it's a natural point of things. When you look at the roster, like you said, the addition of William Jackson, Landon Collins is a guy who, you know, a lot of people still kind of look for that Pro Bowl type of maybe, you know, flirting with all pro caliber type of talent. He's just not there. I don't know if he was ever really truly there, but he's definitely not there now. And then you have a first round draft pick on the defense for the second straight year. So defensive line with four first round draft picks on it. So it's very reasonable to expect that this unit is going to perform a lot better. But then, as we've kind of come to find out, and as we've come to watch, last year's competition really wasn't all that, you know, you don't want to be too disrespectful, but it wasn't as tough as it was going to be this season, especially with a first place schedule after winning the division. But you won the division to 7-9. So, you know, the old adage of you are what your record says you are. Well, you're 7-9. And even if you're 7-9 with a good defense, you're still 7-9 with that good defense. So you come into this year with a first place schedule, and you're going up against the NFC South. And let's be completely honest with you, the Saints and the Panthers have both looked better than, you know, maybe a lot of people have expected them to. They obviously lose that game to the Saints. And then, you know, you've got the Bills, the Chiefs, the Packers obviously coming up. You've got the Bucks coming up. I mean, the schedule this year was just, it's a murderer's row for any team to face, let alone a 7-9 first place team. But, you know, the franchise themselves didn't really do themselves any favors either. I mean, Ron Rivera talked about, you know, shooting to have one of the best defenses in the league. Chase Young talked about how they feel like they could be the best defense in the league. So a lot of times you hear people talk about, well, that's just outside noise. We've heard Aaron Rodgers with the relax. That's all outside noise. That's not what's happening inside the organization. Well, inside Washington, they were thinking they were going to be the best defense in the NFL too. So in this situation, they kind of bit off a little bit more, I think, that they can chew. But they have done better the last couple of weeks, taking advantage of opportunities. Two takeaways against New Orleans Saints, three takeaways against Kansas City Chiefs could have been four. The real problem here in the last 2 weeks and two very winnable games for the Washington football team has been the offense.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to ask you about that, because, you know, I want to talk more in depth about the offense in a second, but I was just, before we jumped on here, I was going through just player for player. Yeah. I mean, this defense is so talented, especially that front. The front is as deep as any front has in terms of inside, outside pass rush, penetrators inside. And then you look at the secondary, William Jackson, Kendall Fuller. I really like St. Juice coming out of the draft. You mentioned Landon Collins. Like, there's a lot of talent on this team. What is it that is causing them to not play to that talent? Because I understand opponent is a big part of this, but I mean, they've given up 30 plus in four straight games.
Yeah. Communication. I mean, communication is the biggest part of it. And I think that's where the biggest breakdown is people, one, not being where they're supposed to be. And then when other people are communicating with them to be where they're supposed to be, they're not really taking that kind of guidance. We saw that against the New Orleans Saints. There was a play with the Deontay Harris big touchdown pass from Jameis Winston that really kind of got the whole thing started going sideways. It was Bobby McCain playing free safety, Landon Collins, a strong safety, trying to disguise their coverage, where in this coverage, Landon Collins was the single high safety. Bobby McCain was going to come off of his high position and fall back down onto a route. Landon Collins was then going to be left as a single high safety. So in order to disguise this, Landon Collins got about 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. And if you know anything about Landon Collins, you know he ain't fast. So when he comes off of his in the box position, you see Bobby McCain calling to him saying, hey, get back. And Landon Collins literally waves him off. When I say wave him, I mean, he literally takes his hand and essentially says, shush, child, I got this. The ball gets snapped. Landon Collins tries his best to get back into the depth of the field. Deontay Harris is already by him before he even has an opportunity to get there. And it's just a miserable play. And it's, you know, is Landon Collins playing out of position? I can't imagine that Jack Del Rio said, hey, here's a good idea, guys. Let's disguise Landon Collins single high by putting him on the line of scrimmage against a team with nothing but speed receivers. If that's the case, then maybe Jack Del Rio should consider another profession. So I don't believe that that's Jack Del Rio's call. I think that's Landon Collins' call. And then his teammate is literally out there pleading with him, saying, dude, that's not the right decision. Let's be smart here. And he says, no, I got this. The I in team. And they get burned for a huge touchdown, one of two big first half touchdowns that honestly could have both been prevented. The second one being the Hail Mary, which you hate to pile too much on a guy, but Landon Collins in the end zone where that play is behind the play. So he's at the intended receiver or receiver going up for the Hail Mary in front of him. So he doesn't have position, but he pushes a guy in Kendall Fuller who does have position in front of the receiver out of the way. And then, you know, Marquez Callaway ends up landing on Landon Collins in the end zone for Hail Mary touchdown. So just two really bad plays where Landon Collins essentially looking out for himself while doing what Landon wants to do. And I think as a result, you saw a dramatic downturn in his snaps this last Sunday against Kansas City Chiefs. Still a loss, but not nearly the communication and coverage blown problems that we've seen in weeks past.
So you mentioned this offense and that being part of the problem here. They've also been banged up along the offensive line. Where do we stand now in terms of injuries? I know it's early in the week still, so we don't have like full practice reports on this, but they've had issues. Brandon Scherff's been hurt. Sam Cosmi's been hurt. So where does this offensive line stand now? Who can we expect to see out on the field come Sunday?
Definitely not Sam Cosmi. I don't have any hopes that Sam Cosmi is going to be playing their second round rookie who's been playing, I think, better than anybody expected coming out of training camp and preseason. Really got worked in training camp and preseason quite often. Has done an admirable job, to be quite honest. You have this right tackle there. Brandon Scherff was at practice stretching. Don't think, you know, at least not to the session open to the media. I don't think he was really practicing, looking at probably either an LP or a DNP for Wednesday. Charles Leno Jr. was also on the side field stretching with trainers and working with trainers. So that's three starting offensive linemen that you're talking about, either out or off the practice field or on the side field working with trainers. So yeah, definitely not a good look there. And then Ricky Seals-Jones is still, he's on the IR, so it's at least a week before he can come back. And then three of your top four wide receivers, Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin, and Cam Sims, all also seen working with trainers today instead of practicing. So most likely DMPs or LPs for all of those guys. Although you expect Terry McLaurin, you know, if he can play, he will play, but Curtis Samuel's been a totally other, total different situation the entire time. So a lot of at least four starters. You kind of look at this and just the ratios and the odds that these guys are all going to come back. You're probably looking at four starters on the offense, including two possibly on the offensive line that are going to be out this Sunday.
What has been the difference for Taylor Heinicke this year? Because he has that playoff game against Tampa Bay, and he looks like, hey, this could be someone. They bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick. We get 5 minutes of the Ryan Fitzpatrick experience, and all of a sudden he goes down. So why has what we saw, at least in the playoff game, not translated? Or is that one of those just fluky things? Like, these are all NFL players. They're all capable of having a good game here or there. The difference that separates the good from the great and the good from the not so good is consistency.
Right. Yeah. And you just said it, consistency. That's exactly what's been escaping Taylor Heinicke. And honestly, I think it's the coaching staff getting into his head. I don't think they're intending to. I think everything they're saying is meant to be, you know, the best case scenario for Taylor Heinicke. But Ron Rivera talked about it after this last game, the loss against Kansas City Chiefs, asking why Taylor looked so conservative. Zero runs for that quarterback. And, you know, Washington's not really known for dialing up design quarterback runs anyway. But Taylor Heinicke, part of what made him so electric against Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoffs was his athleticism. And part of some of his best plays this season have come with athleticism. But he looked like he just was refusing to run the ball on Sunday against Kansas City Chiefs. And it takes away an entire part of his dynamic. And I think that's coaching staff basically telling him to be more patient, go through his reads, trust his guys to be there. And he's got that in his head. And he's essentially refusing to take off with the ball when the play breaks down. I think this weekend, you'll probably see a little bit of a correction on that. And that's essentially the dynamic that we've seen with Taylor. Is he comes out and has a game. There's some good, there's some bad. And you kind of see an overcorrection the next week, followed by a recorrection the following week. He's, you know, a lot of Washington fans have basically said he's a rookie quarterback. This will be his sixth career regular season start in the National Football League. He's almost 29 years old. So that comparison is very accurate. However, again, you go back to the preseason buzz and, you know, it's not all on media and all fans. The team was also very excited for what they had coming in. They go out, you don't go out and get Curtis Samuel, keep Terry McLaurin, get De'Ami Brown to have a boring, you know, low scoring, slow paced offense. You go out there to try to stretch the field, spread out the defense, and they're not doing it. And a lot of it is because Taylor Heinicke is trying to make everybody happy. And in my opinion, he's doing so at the expense of some of his intuition and his instincts on the football field that make him a good quarterback in the first place. And I think they need to get to a place where they're accentuating his instincts and teaching him how to use them along with football intelligence to make better plays. We just haven't seen that yet.
All right, a lot more to come here on our crossover edition. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain and auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. So why deal with the headache? Why deal with the questions that you probably don't know the answers anyway? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time, save money when you use Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership when you could be going to a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years? When you shop for auto parts, you don't know what they're supposed to cost. I don't know what they're supposed to cost. So why not go to a place where the prices are always reliably low for every customer? Everything you need, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for your auto parts needs. And when you go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you.
Back now here on this crossover to Thursday, previewing the Green Bay Packers hosting the Washington football team. Peter Bukowski and David Harrison here talking about this contest. And Peter, I'm going to ask you first and foremost, which storyline facing the Green Bay Packers or do the Green Bay Packers have coming into this game that you think is the focal point for this weekend?
Well, the biggest story, full stop, is David Bakhtiari and whether or not he can play this season or this week. I don't think it affects the outcome either way that much in terms of Elgton Jenkins has played very good at left tackle. The interior has been solid, although there have been some pass protection, just pass off mistakes, slide protections and mental errors, not physical errors. The five that they're playing is actually extremely stout in that regard. Mm-hmm. But getting David Bakhtiari back, I think, would allow the Packers to get back to an identity that they are more comfortable with. We saw to open the season, they're playing a lot more in empty to try and get chip releases and do some different kinds of things to get the ball out quickly and give their tackles some help when it's someone like Josh Nijman out there. But when you have Elgton Jenkins, I think we saw from the second quarter on in the Bears game, it was a lot more under center. It was a lot more hard play action. It was a lot more downhill running with AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones. And I think that's going to be what they want to be. Mm-hmm. When they get David Bakhtiari back, I think then they become much more comfortable playing in whatever sorts of sets that they want to be in, whether it's empty, whether it's in shotgun, whether it's under center. I think they feel much more comfortable, Rodgers especially, turning his back to the defense on those hard play action plays and turning around knowing, okay, everything in front of me is settled. I know that I'm not going to turn, and here's a 300-pound guy trying to take my head off as soon as I turn my head. That was not happening, but I think the intent, and Matt LaFleur said as much earlier in the week, hey, this is because we like the chip releases. We like these different things that we can do out of the protection. They took a sack on the second drive out of a blown coverage and empty. And LaFleur admitted, it made me reconsider whether or not I wanted to live in empty. And guess what? After that, they didn't. I think that is going to be a continuation of what they do. But if Bakhtiari does come back, you're getting arguably the best left tackle in football. You're upgrading at left guard because Elgton Jenkins gets to play at his better position, which is left guard. And you're solidified against one of the best, if not the best, front in football.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I want to go with this is the injuries, especially along the offensive line. You know, we saw the Chicago Bears, you know, coming into last weekend, leading the league in sacks and all that, and they definitely tried to get after Aaron Rodgers and did get to him, I think, a couple times. How concerned are you with this? You know, we always talk about get right games, right? And I go back to when Washington played the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen wasn't doing well yet. The defense wasn't doing well yet. And it's kind of like, okay, this is a get right game. Which side of the ball is going to get right? Well, this could possibly be. And I think we say this every week covering the Washington football teams. Like, is this the week that the Washington football team defense kind of clicks in and kind of gets it in sync against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers with this offensive line a little bit banged up? I know that center went out again. I don't know what his status is. And then honestly, even looking at the other side of the ball, Darnell Savage, I know got banged up a little bit against the Chicago Bears. Again, I don't know what his status is right now. But how concerned are you about these injuries? Do you think that if you had to go to betonline.ag and put a bet on it, is this an opportunity for Washington's defense to get right, or do you think the Packers can handle it with what they've got?
That's such a tough question, because in a vacuum, looking at the roster when I was doing that before we jumped on here, like, the talent is there for them to be really good. And we saw them last year play well against, as you mentioned, inferior competition. The problem is we just haven't seen anything even close to resembling competent play on the defensive side of the ball so far this season. So I find it hard to believe that an offense that is designed and called by Matt LaFleur, that is quarterbacked by Aaron Rodgers, that is helmed by Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, and has an offensive front that even with injuries has played pretty well over the course of the season, that this is a quote get right game. Now, do I think that the best path for Washington to win this game is their front dominating? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to paint a path, if I'm going to say, okay, what about Washington? And am I most worried about if I'm the Packers? It is absolutely that front is able to get after Rodgers, that they're able to stop the run and then turn the Packers into a one-dimensional team where they can pin their ears back. And all of a sudden it's Chase Young, it's Montez Sweat, it's Jonathan Allen, it's Daron Payne, it's all the Matt Ioannidis. I mean, the list goes on and on for them getting after Aaron Rodgers. That said, Lucas Patrick played his best game, I think, of the season, played his best game in a long time, frankly, for the Packers. He was their highest graded offensive lineman, not by Pro Football Focus, by the Packers. Matt LaFleur said as much after the game. Aaron Rodgers praised him. Center is his best position. So if you're going to have I think he's probably the best backup center in the league among players whose positions are actually that. Like, Elgton Jenkins could slide to center and be really good. Man, there are some guards who could probably play center right and be really good at it. But in terms of guys whose dedicated position is center, I think he's one of the best in the league. Yeah. And then Elgton Jenkins, we assume if David Bakhtiari's not out there, he's going to be the left tackle. I think you feel pretty good about that matchup. Billy Turner has been really good this season. And Royce Newman, when he's been able to just say, block that guy, he's been really good. Last week, he gave up 2 sacks on slide protections that he just blew.
Right.
It was just, he blew the assignment. Aaron Rodgers said after the game that those were, quote, easy assignments. So it'll be interesting to see if David Bakhtiari does come back. Do you move John Runyon Jr. to left guard, or from left guard to right guard? Or is Royce Newman, who they just drafted, is he viewed as the right guard of the future and of the now? And so you just sort of let him play through these things. These are interesting questions in a vacuum, but I think ultimately the result is this is a pretty good offensive line. They're going to be pretty good on Sunday. And so a get right game, I don't see that for Washington, although I do think that they could play well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you could definitely land somewhere in the middle. That's 100% possible. Absolutely. And you mentioned the Green Bay Packers playing a little bit less empty, giving their offensive line a little bit more help against pass rushers. And that's something that the Washington defense has been seeing a lot of, is a lot of help. Chase Young has been getting chipped. Montez Sweat's been getting chipped. And those are things you come into the season kind of expecting, but they haven't been able to overcome it. Something that we have seen the last 2 weeks from the Washington defense, though, is giving the offense a chance by stifling opposing offenses a little bit, keeping them from scoring too many points too soon, to give Taylor Heinicke and the Washington offense a chance to kind of take a lead. And like you mentioned, put the Packers in an uncomfortable situation where the defense can now kind of predict easily what's coming because they're falling behind. Honestly, the Chicago Bears had an opportunity to potentially put some points up against Green Bay Packers and put them in an uncomfortable position. Justin Fields, young quarterback, and that offense kind of still getting working. I see a lot of similarities between the Chicago Bears offense and this Washington offense. Wide receivers that you expect to be producing better than they are just because of their name and given talent, but young quarterback, offense not clicking on all the cylinders. So I kind of think this could be a repeat game of last week from a Packers fan standpoint. You might watch this and say, didn't I just watch this game with different logos on the helmets? What do you see in Taylor Heinicke? Because I know what I see, and I know we talked about it a little bit, but what do you think the Packers are going to do to try to attack this offense and take advantage of yet another inexperienced quarterback coming in this week?
Well, I think very much a similar plan, as you mentioned, to what they did with Justin Fields. It's going to be a ton of 2-deep safeties. They did not blitz. They've been blitzing much more this year, the Packers have, under Joe Barry, than they did last year under Mike Pettine. Pettine became sort of obsessed with his 4-man rush because he was very good at getting one-on-ones for his guys. And there were even some times they got pressure on 3-man rushes where they had free rushers on 3-man rushes because they showed 6 and they fooled opposing offenses. I do think we will see some of that, but I was actually kind of surprised at how passive the Packers played in terms of rush 4, drop 7, and we dare you to make throws into tight windows. Justin Fields made a couple of those tight window throws. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you can trust Taylor Heinicke to make those same kinds of throws. And that's not a shot at Taylor. Justin Fields has pretty superlative arm talent, and he's just going to make three or four wild throws a game. He made a ridiculous hole shot cover two throw. And it's just like, well, what is Eric Stokes supposed to do? It's a beautiful throw between the corner and the safety. Allen Robinson makes a spectacular grab along the sidelines, and it just is what it is. If Taylor Heinicke makes a couple of those, you just got to say congrats. Like, he's an NFL quarterback. He's going to do some of that. Mm-hmm. To your point earlier, I think where you want to get him off his mark, same thing with Justin Fields. If you make him read out what's going on, if you make him get to two, to three, to four, and you're able to hem him in, that was a problem last week at times for the Packers with Justin Fields. They had everything covered up. Their coverage was awesome last week with backup corners, Eric Stokes and the safeties. Like, they did a really good job with Rasul Douglas and Isaac Yiadom after Yiadom got benched. Rasul Douglas did a really good job along with Stokes and those safeties of covering everything up. And the linebackers have been playing well, while Devondre Campbell has been playing really well in the middle of that defense. And after Fields got to his first read, he didn't know where to go. And he took pressures. He threw some wobblers, threw the one interception, almost threw another one to no one. I think that's going to be the same kind of plan. Push the pocket, but don't get out of your rush lanes. Don't let him break the pocket and make some plays where his athleticism can do some things that, you know, your defense needs to stay disciplined on. I think it's going to be a lot of rush four, a lot of drop seven, and make him read it out and hope that that's good enough. Especially as you mentioned with the injuries at receiver, I think that's the best path forward here for this Packers defense.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you 100%. And I do expect to see Taylor try to use his athleticism a little bit more this week than we definitely did last week. And even in some games previous.
And I do have to just say, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but Kenny Clark has been playing just killer football this season. And I still am sort of in awe of it, because in the fourth quarter, he chased down Justin Fields twice in the fourth quarter of a game that he played, I think, 80% of snaps. He's 320 if he's a pound, and he's out there running down Justin Fields in the fourth quarter. That kind of play inside, especially if you're talking about backup offensive linemen, and they're playing him more as a three tech, so they can run those end tackle stunts. And all of a sudden he's looping around and he's got a backup tackle that he can just push into the quarterback's lap. That's something that I think that Washington is going to really have to reckon with. Rashawn Gary has been pushing pockets, not huge sack numbers, but he's been collapsing pockets with his speed to power. So it's going to be a pretty tall test. I think they can get home with four, which is why I think that's the reason why you play it that way.
Yeah, and that's perfect, because that's exactly what I was going to start talking about. I think the Green Bay Packers have the ability to put enough pressure up over the middle or in the middle of the pocket and get Taylor Heinicke. If he does decide to stay conservative like he did against the Chiefs, they're going to meet him with pressure. But then if he does decide to try to use his athleticism again, they're going to meet him with guys on the outside and the edge. And then, of course, he'll have limited space to operate downfield. And with those injuries to the wide receiver, it could get a little bit hairy for that young quarterback. And I think that's where you saw Justin Fields kind of collapse a little bit last weekend. And a carbon copy almost to the letter this weekend against the Washington football team. Even better, because it's in Lambeau. Is probably going to be fairly effective. That's the route they go. I got to ask you this question. It doesn't really pertain to this game specifically. Look, Green Bay Packers are 5-1. I don't think anybody looks unbeatable right now in this season. You know, even the undefeated Arizona Cardinals have their flaws. But Packers fans have to be wondering, and every other fan of a team that has a quarterback need is also wondering, is there a chance that this Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Packers relationship gets mended through winning if they continue to do so? Which, I mean, without more severe injuries, I think you pretty much expect the Packers will definitely be in the tournament this year. Is that a possibility, or do you think the way that seems everybody outside Green Bay thinks, which is that he's back this year and the deal is that they will let him go where he wants to go next year?
Well, it is always interesting to hear that all of the sourcing coming from other teams who might love to get their mitts on Aaron Rodgers. We think Aaron's
out. There's no ulterior motives there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, what's interesting is in training camp, we talked about this on the show a little bit yesterday. In training camp, it was all, well, next year, who knows? I'm just focused on the now. I'm focused on this season. We have a Super Bowl team. We want to go win a Super Bowl this season. I'm focused on this season, right now, in the moment. And then he was asked after the Bears game how he felt about potentially playing his last game at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
And he gave an honest answer. I've been calling it the season of honesty here in Packerland, that he didn't think it was, that he did not think this walking off the field. And he illuminated a little bit more on the Pat McAfee show that he was walking off the field in the locker room. He said, on McAfee's show, he said in the locker room, he was thinking, how is it going to feel to walk off the field? Is it going to feel final? Is it going to feel like this is it?
Yeah.
And he said, walking off the field, it didn't. And that he went and sought out Justin Fields and said, enjoy this. This is the best. This rivalry is special, all that stuff. And it almost, I think you could read it as like, hey, let's do this.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to be around, embrace the rivalry, and let's run it back for, you know, a couple, you know, two or three more years. Like, let's do this. That was sort of the impression that I think me and a lot of people got about what he was saying. And again, this is a tone difference from what he was saying in camp.
Right.
I don't think it's a coincidence. You go in and you rip out the hearts of your rivals. Yeah. That's really fun, man. Like, that's why we play the game, is to be able to have those moments. And I think he probably walked out the field going, how am I supposed to, like, I don't like anything as much as I like beating the pants off this damn team. And so how could I walk away from that? Like, let's keep going. Let's do it. Like, being around your teammates, all that stuff. I think it has to change the way that you perceive your spot and your feeling about the team. Like when you're in the game, it's easy to have distance from it, right? Mm-hmm. And say, okay, when I'm in Malibu with Miles Teller and my fiance and his fiance, and I'm jumping off waterfalls, it's really easy to go, yeah, I don't need them. But then when you're in the moment, you're in these battles, you're beating down the Bears, you're saying, I still own you, my whole life I owned you. Like, come on, how can you not just be motivated and fueled by that? Like, it would be a human feeling for him to be affected by it. And I think we've seen, and he's let us see more and more that he is human and he does think about these things. And so I think absolutely it is the case that by the end of the season, it could come out, hey, Rodgers is back in, you know, he feels like his voice is being heard again. And, you know, he wants an extension. He wants to get this done. Jordan Love, you know, we're already, ESPN came out with a thing the other day, you know, guys who could be traded. Mm-hmm. Guess who was on that list? Jordan Love was on that list from Rob Domofsky. So, I mean, just something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Washington fans would be way more excited to get Aaron Rodgers than they would be to maybe get like a Jordan Love in a trade during the offseason. But I mean, I can't deny anything you said there. And I think we can all agree that Aaron Rodgers is doing or is having some of the most fun he's had, I think, playing football. I mean, that if he does leave, though, honestly, the I own you and I've owned you my whole life moment there towards the end of that game is kind of a classic way to leave that rivalry. But I the football purist in me does not want to see Aaron Rodgers ever wear any other colors than the Green Bay Packers colors. So that's where I'm going to stand on this. And whether or not Aaron's back next year, football is going to be back. We're going to be back. BetOnline.ag, you can bet, is also going to be back. They're back this year. They've got an all-new web interface. And for the start of basketball season, there's even more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all your basketball and football action this season. So head over to BetOnline.ag. If you haven't already, sign up. Make your first deposit. And when you do, use a promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. Whether you're looking for basketball, football, baseball, postseason action, hockey is back, boxing, UFC. They've even got Vegas casino games, literally a little bit of everything you could possibly want. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is still the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, we are finishing up here on this Packers Washington football team crossover. So let's get into some keys here, David. When you look at the matchups, what is the roadmap? I gave you mine. What is the roadmap for you? So, okay, Washington, they come in 8.5, 9 points, whatever it's going to be. I've seen it at 10 in terms of the lines. What is the roadmap for Washington to spring the upset or at least keep this close?
Yeah, you got to stop the run. I think first and foremost, you have to stop the run. You got to put the Packers, you know, off schedule. You got to make them, you know, third and three or more minimum is what you have to have the Packers. And even that, third and five actually might be a better target if you want to have some success. Pressure Aaron Rodgers. We talked about the defensive line maybe having a get right game. They don't necessarily have to have a lot of sacks. They need to put pressure on Aaron Rodgers, not let him come back there, have all time to figure out what he wants to do. Don't give Devontae Adams time. to connect with his quarterback, you know, any more time they already have, and then keep the short gains short. And I think that's really the biggest thing. And that's something that I think Chicago Bears did fairly well early on in that game, which kind of kept them in the fight and gave their offense opportunities to perhaps put some points on the board that they weren't able to take advantage of. And that comes down to tackling. And last weekend, we might have seen the worst tackling performance from this Washington football team defense than I've ever seen from them easily. And honestly, maybe the worst tackling performance I've ever seen from a defense in just one single game. And remember, I've been covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 8 seasons. So I've seen some bad tackling defenses in my time covering football. They've got to keep the short gains short. You know, Aaron is not afraid to take a 2-yard dump off. Aaron Jones is not afraid to take what he can get and go down and live for the next play. They've got to let them take them. If Washington gives Aaron Jones 3 guys to go through before they make a tackle, it's going to be over before it starts.
So you mentioned stopping the run. The Washington football team, one of the things they actually have done relatively well so far this season defensively is stop the run. They are 12th stopping the run in DVOA, but 28th stopping the pass. And that is a big deal. Coincidentally, Indianapolis, who's right behind them in DVOA, is the number one rushing defense in the league by DVOA. And they are the 4th worst total defense in the league, which tells you everything you need to know about how important stopping the run is in the NFL. To me, that is huge. If the Packers can run the ball, and they did it last week against a pretty good Bears front, both Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon averaged over 5 yards per carry. If they can do that, I just don't see how Washington can stop them, given the miscommunication issues that they've had in the secondary, given the injuries that they have in the secondary, and given that no one has been able to have answers for Davante Adams. I just don't know what answers Washington would have if they can't stop the run. Like, they have to stop the run to keep the Packers under 30. If they can't, the Packers are just going to score like every time they have the ball, I think. I mean, it's not really, not literally, but it's one of those things. Like, that's the game to me. So I like this game. I think Washington's going to be able to score some points, especially in the second half. The Packers have come out slow in some of these games. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is another one of those games where it's like 10-7 after a quarter. That was the case for the Chiefs, right? They actually had a halftime lead, I believe, right?
Yep.
And then the wheels just came off. They couldn't score in the second half, and the Chiefs started scoring in the second half.
Right.
The Packers are also not going to turn the ball over 3 times. They just don't do that. Mm-hmm. And so I have this game 31-20.
Yeah, and I've gotten, you know, last time we looked at BetOnline.ag, the Packers were 9.5-point favorites. You start talking about getting into double-digit deficits as an underdog, and that's Houston Texans area, that's Jacksonville Jaguars territory. You don't want to be there. And unfortunately, that's where Washington put themselves with some bad performance. And talk about the turnovers, and yeah, I agree. Out of the 3 takeaways that they had last weekend against Kansas City Chiefs, really 2 of them were giveaways. One was off of Tyreek Hill's hands. The other one was a bad snap that Patrick Mahomes made, a throw that I don't think I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes or would imagine he would have made in the first place. So, I mean, give him credit for the 1 takeaway. You know, Cole Holcomb did punch it out there, and Cam Curl fell on the ball, so that's great. But again, this is a different animal. The Green Bay Packers are not struggling the way the Kansas City Chiefs are coming to this either. 9.5
is a wild thing to say.
Yeah, absolutely. 9.5 is a pretty good spread, I feel like. I think the books have it. Right. I've got Green Bay winning as well, 27-17. Would love to give Washington football team fans, you know, the benefit of hearing their host pick them to win. And I know they want us to, but I gotta be honest. That's what we tell our listeners. You're going to get the truth from us. You're not going to get fandom. You're going to get the truth. And I just don't see how this Washington team comes out of the victory in Lambeau against the Green Bay Packers the way they're playing. But I tell them every week too. Every week is an opportunity for this team to figure it out and put it together. When it clicks, it's going to click in kind of a moment. Not really over the span of a couple of weeks, you're just going to suddenly see a better team if they get there. If this is it, then we'll see. But 27-17 is how I'm going to see it coming into it.
The good news for Washington is they play the Eagles twice at the end of the season. And those are good opportunities for dubs. I think that about does it for us. Appreciate everyone who has made Locked On Packers and Locked On Washington football team their first listen of the day. A lot more to come every day, every week. We will see you and talk to you all next week.